regarding what's going to happen in that book. The apostles will be witnesses of Christ in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, as well as some others will be preaching the gospel. And so we're going to transition into that, though we're going to talk a little bit more about Jesus in Jerusalem. So you should have your folder, because you're going to need your atlas. And you can go ahead and open that atlas to page 24, and we'll start right there in just a moment. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go back and look at Jerusalem and Jesus just for a little bit. And so open up your atlas to page 24. 24 has an interesting map. It is a decent map. It does have a little material on it that's traditional sites. Remember we talked about that last week? That three-dimensional program that we use, one of the great strengths of that program is it's really conservative in what it identifies. This is one of those maps that goes a little bit beyond what we know from the records and from archaeology and makes some educated guesses where some things are at. And that's okay as long as you know that going in. And so what I want us to do is remember what we saw last week. Well, we had the lights off, so somebody, you know, I don't know who was listening and watching, but I think most people were. But think about that three-dimensional program about Jerusalem, the landscape, the terrain, the scale of the buildings, etc. Keep that in mind. And I just want to talk a little bit about Jesus' last week in Jerusalem, starting with day one. And I want you to have in the back of your mind what you saw on that program about first century Jerusalem last week. So looking at that map you've got right there, you'll notice the red dotted line that shows the movement there on page 24 in your atlas. And so day one was the triumphal entry, which most likely happened as he came across from the Mount of Olives, the Kidron Valley, and probably entered Jerusalem from this northern area right here. That would have been a common place to enter. Now, there's a lot that happens in that last week. And Rick talked about this a little bit Sunday night. There's a lot that happens on that third day, on Tuesday, what we would call Tuesday. It's actually, when you look at Matthew and Mark, the second day he comes back into Jerusalem and he cleanses the temple that I talked about in the sermon Sunday. And also, Matthew talks about how that he heals. So if you think about it, he's cleansing the temple and healing in the temple, which even more intensifies the opposition to him, doing that there in the temple. And so that's day two. That's spread out over 2 days. Now, you'll note in the gospel text that Jesus keeps going out at night to Bethany. Scholars say that Jerusalem, as we've mentioned, could increase its size by 50 to 100% in population during one of these feasts, which meant it's hard to find a place to sleep. But we also know that things are heating up between him and the religious leaders, and they're looking for a way to arrest him and try him. But he does not, as he has always done in his ministry, he did not want that to happen until just the right time. And so the fact that he leaves at night and goes outside the city sort of makes him less accessible. If you recall, when they came and arrested him, it was at night. So he left himself open, okay, by that day. So day three is when you have this period from Matthew 21. Hi, how you doing? Through Matthew 25 or so. You're fine. Just right there. Have a seat. Yeah. So in Matthew's discourses, he talks about the different parables about the kingdom, regarding those who reject the kingdom, like the king who gave a feast and things such as that. Also, he has these condemnations. He condemns the scribes and Pharisees. He also issues the condemnation on Jerusalem and the judgment on Jerusalem. You guys can sit right there, okay? So all those condemnations are taking place there on day three. Day three is the real crux of the conflict. And then day four, and you have to piece together the Gospels, is most likely when the anointing at Bethany took place. Now, this is not the anointing by Mary in John chapter 12. That's the week before. He raises Lazarus the week before the last week. Mary anoints his feet. There's controversy about that. That happens again in Bethany, but we're told in the other Gospels that it was in Simon's house, not Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house. So this is another anointing a week later, and that happens on what we would say a Wednesday. And then, of course, the Passover ensues the evening of Thursday, the fourth day of that, the fifth day of that week, moving into that. And then that's the night he's arrested, and then he's crucified. So what's happening with Jesus, and I'll work off this map here. He enters here, and he's working in and out of the temple, the triumphal entry, the cleansing, the healings. And it appears that a lot of his teaching is going on in and around the temple. And then every night he goes out to Bethany, into the temple and out to Bethany across the Kidron Valley. Then he stays over here in Bethany and does not come back into Jerusalem, according to the record, until the Passover. And it is assumed that he ate the Passover. And there is an emphasis in Matthew, if you notice that in the reading this week, there's an emphasis that said he went into the city to observe the Passover. He's going to observe the Passover in the city. He didn't have to, but he's doing that. His movement in and out of Jerusalem is very purposeful. And so it is assumed that somewhere in this lower city that he would have done that, because he's with people who are common people, and that's where the common people were, in the lower city. And then he crosses over the Kidron Valley back to the Mount of Olives, where the Garden of Gethsemane is believed to be. Very strong evidence that it's over there. And then that's when the contingent of the temple soldiers come and arrest him. And the fact, and you'll see this on page 24 there in your atlas, they bring him somewhere here. It's not quite sure exactly where Caiaphas' house was, where Annas' house was. There's some speculation, but he's tried somewhere in the upper city here, because that's where the Jewish leadership worked, in the upper city. And then, of course, eventually he's taken the morning of the crucifixion to Pilate, who probably the best evidence is that all took place in the fortress of Antonia, adjacent to the temple, but he could have been using Herod the Great's old palace, which was located just right there. So let me ask you this question. In light of that three-dimensional program we looked at last week, when you see those movements of Jesus and you see those traces there on page 24, what kind of impressions do you now have about Jesus and his movements that last week? What kind of insights in light of that program last week? What kind of observations do you have? Maybe even new understandings about something. So put together what we looked at last week and what we summarized right there.
Rigorous. Just up and down, in elevations that he went through way before he ever, you know, was faced with any of the other physical abuse.
He's moving around a lot the night he's arrested. He's come in from Bethany. He's in the lower city. Then he goes back out to Mount of Olives, and he's taken back over the Kidron Valley back into the upper city. He's up all night. Yes, it's very taxing. What else strikes you in light of last week and what you're seeing there on page 24 in that list of the days, the last week in Jerusalem? Anything else? Was there a moment last week when you're looking at that program that you're like, ooh, I didn't quite understand it that way before, or I didn't quite, hadn't seen that before? Did you have any of those aha moments?
I didn't really realize there was an upper and a lower city.
Right. Right.
Common folk below the more aristocratic echelon.
Right. And all you got to do is drive around any city and you'll see the same thing, right? You'll see neighborhoods of upper socioeconomic classes and ones of lower ones. And it was very stratified in Jerusalem, though. Very stratified. Yeah. You sort of have maybe an idea that it was all just mingled together, and it wasn't. And remember, the Sadducees were connected to the upper classes, and the scribes and Pharisees believed that if you were poor or sick, you're being cursed by God. So think about how that played into the social classes and where they lived, Earl.
You know, we have middle class today, but they didn't have that middle class. Yeah. Upper crust, low bottom.
Right. We live in a time when the middle class takes up most of the space in the classes. That's a industrialization product. It's been since industrialization that's happened. There would be a middle class. There would be merchants and so forth that would be considered what we would consider middle class, but they were a minority. Most people were working class, some middle class, and an even smaller elite class. Yes. Okay, well, let's shift into looking at Jerusalem in the book of Acts. Because when the book of Acts starts, it's in Jerusalem. And it stays in Jerusalem for some time. And then when it leaves Jerusalem, boy, does it leave Jerusalem. It explodes out of Jerusalem. So we've got a table activity. And you'll note you've got two things on your table. You've got a black and white legal size map of Jerusalem, and you got a poster board. So here's what we're going to work with. We're going to go into the book of Acts, and we're going to work, first of all, with these texts right here. Acts 1, 2, 3, 6, in those particular references. Those are all identifying certain events that are taking place. Like, obviously, Acts 2, 1 through 6, that's the preaching at Pentecost. So here's what you're going to do. At the table, you can decide how you want to do this at the table. Half of your group, take that legal size black and white map, this one right here that's on your table, and you're going to work with that first. Now, that map right there is very crowded. That's okay. There's some space where you can write. And what I want you to do is I want you to go through those texts and label on the Jerusalem map those events and those references. And as you list those, use different color pens and markers. That way it pops out. And here's the deal on that. Some of these, it's indicating where in Jerusalem it's happening. For instance, Acts 3, 1 through 3, Peter and John goes up to the temple. They go up to the temple. So that's happening at the temple complex. Where did the preaching at Pentecost take place? Does the text say where in Jerusalem? Does it? Now, logically, a lot of the big preaching events and teaching events in Jesus' ministry, and even some in the book of Acts, take place in the temple complex. That's a logical place. It would make sense that Pentecost preaching took place there. We don't know. Where did the Sanhedrin council meet in Acts 6 when it was hearing out Stephen and trying Stephen? We don't know. So guess what? Just put it on the map. Just put it on the map, and it indicates it happened in Jerusalem. So some of you need to be working with that at the table. The other half, okay, and I'll point out a little leader here. That way y'all can, that leader can maybe give instruction. Les and Elaine and Earl and Olivia and Jennifer, okay? Zachary and you, Joe, right back there. Y'all can sort of help everybody get organized a little bit. But the other thing I want you to do is take the poster and do the thing that we've done several times, including those posters hanging back there on the glass and the ones we used to have up there. I took those down because we're going to put that one up over on the windows. And I want you to draw the basic outline of Palestine showing the Mediterranean Sea of Galilee, Jordan River, and Dead Sea. You know, that basic outline of Palestine that we've done on several maps. Then label Jerusalem on that poster because Jerusalem's ground zero. For the early chapters of Acts, Jerusalem is ground zero. Even when they get outside of Jerusalem, they keep coming back. Like Peter leaves Jerusalem, but he comes back on a couple of occasions. So, and then I want you to draw a line from Jerusalem to the legal-sized piece of paper, because that legal-sized piece of paper, when you finish with it, what I would like for you to do, can I have both of them, please? Thank you very much. So some of you are going to get this map ready with the Dead Sea shore, Dead Sea and the Jordan River and the Mediterranean shore. Then when you finish that map, I want you to tape it to the top right corner, just like that. And I'm going to give you some tape here. Some of you already have tape. I'll get tape for the others. Tape it up there. You know how you'll see a map that has an insert, a part of the map blown up? That's the point. And then we're going to do some other things here in the rest of Palestine. Okay, we're finished. finishing this up, just a little preview. This is what we'll do next week. Now think about it. Early chapters of Acts and Jerusalem and Palestine regarding the spreading of the gospel. Real quickly, brainstorm. What are some events you can think of in the early chapters of Acts related to spreading of the gospel in Palestine? We got that on that one. Yep.
Philip going to Samaria.
All right, Philip goes to Samaria. After he preaches the Samaritans, he's redirected. Where does he go?
Road to
Gaza to encounter whom? The eunuch. Okay? Then, what are some other examples?
Persecution of the church.
Okay, after Stephen is put to death, the disciples in Jerusalem disperse, and it says they go into Judea and Samaria with the gospel. And what happens in Acts 10 with Peter? Or Acts 9, what happens with Peter? He's called down to a place called Joppa, where he does a miracle. What was it?
Cornelius
is next, exactly. Acts 9, he goes down and there's a woman that has died. Her name was what?
Dorcas.
He resurrects Dorcas. It's when he's in Joppa that Cornelius sends for him in Acts 10. So where does Peter go from Joppa to where to preach to Cornelius?
Caesarea.
So what we're going to look at next week is take this map, and I'm going to put you back in the same groups because you got along so well. Put you back in the same group next week, and we're going to put those events on this poster to show the early spread of the gospel.
Should we put our table number on this somewhere?
Yes, thank you, Earl. Put your table number on your poster. Put your table number on your poster, just like in a corner.
Touch these dots and that's something might happen. Oh, and they give you
info. Right, go ahead and finish that map. If you haven't finished it, finish here in the last couple minutes. Get that legal size map labeled, get it taped on the poster. So when your poster's done, just put it on a pew near your table. And I will take those and put them somewhere separately than all the other stuff. Just lay it on a pew nearby, and we'll sit around them. And when you got your thing labeled and taped, then we can go to our seats and have our talk.